Just not.
They like them. Not a lot. I do try to make them. Well, it's good to see all of you. Good to meet all of you new preachers I haven't met. Brother Tweed, I've never met him. Brother Gordon, I haven't met him. Some of you others, I haven't met him. And it's wonderful to see Brother Dan. I love Brother Dan, Sister Sonny. They're wonderful people. Brother Hilly and his wife, it's good to see them. I haven't seen them in a lot of years. And all the rest of you, if you haven't met you, good to meet you. From Salve Grace Missionary Baptist Church in Texarkana. Been there 17 years. I was at the Country Baptist Church in Sulphur Springs and Divide Baptist Church since 1982, where I met my wife. We dated for a month, got married, and was married almost 39 years before the Lord took her home. And I do miss her. When the Lord takes your wife home, you gotta pick yourself up and move along, and that's what we're doing. I do appreciate all of the churches that and people that helped us. This church, other churches, I'm not going to get into all of them. I miss one, and they'll say, Brother Randy missed us. I don't do that, but I do appreciate you. But the church is doing well. We've lost, in the last short time, we've lost three members to the Lord. And sad for us, but good for them. I go visit my wife at the cemetery, and sometimes I speak. It's just out of habit. We used to talk all the time. When you take care of an ill person for a lot of years, a lot of people say, isn't it a relief? No, it's not. I would love to take care of her again, but she's with the Lord, and I'm so happy for her. She's no more pain, no more dialysis. She hated dialysis. I don't blame her. People that give dialysis in Texarkana, I'm not going to say for other places, are some of the meanest people in the world. Isn't that terrible? Yeah, people that, when you take dialysis, you're never the same. You're never well. You're never good. And for true people to be mean to you, nurses to be mean to you, God ought to strike them with lightning. But that's in God's hands, isn't it? You'll turn your Bibles to Isaiah 53. I'd like to say our Bible conference in Texarkana will be September the 17th and 18th. So you preachers that used to get invited, you'll be invited. We'll certainly invite the one here, the new pastor here. I love Brother Keller. I contacted, got in touch with Brother Keller, Sister Jenny back in when they were up in El Toy, when I went to Texarkana. I don't remember when. And we loved him at Country Baptist Church. And they used to come by and visit us. And a young man in our church named Jason Trout was like 12 years old. And me and him worked real hard trying to get Brother Keller to make it by Country Baptist Church one time. And when he did, he just lit the place on fire. And then I heard he came here, and I said, well, I talked to Brother Sages. How'd y'all like him? He said, we love him. And I don't blame you. Wonderful man. I wish I could preach near as good as he does. But September 17th and 18th. I'm glad to be back. It's been a couple of years. And I'll certainly try to keep to my time, not getting Brother Gordon's time. I don't know what time we're supposed to finish. It's not on there. I assume 8 o'clock good.
Dan's
supposed to
start at 7:35. My time doesn't start
until
I get up there, so you don't
worry. No, seriously. I'll be down about 20 after, brother. Is that good? That's 30 minutes, okay? I don't like to preach long. I really don't. Anyway, I've been doing a series at our church on Isaiah 53. This is the second time I've preached through this book in probably 3 years. I love the book of Isaiah, chapter of Isaiah 53. I love the book of Isaiah. I love all the books. But I love Isaiah 53 because it tells me a few things there that just really does bring joy to my heart. It tells us about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it tells us about his sufferings. And it tells us why he went through those sufferings. But it also tells us why he did it. He did it because God sent him to do it. It was by God's will that Jesus Christ suffer all the pain and misery of that crucifixion for our sins. For our sins. The Jews did not kill Jesus Christ. I killed him. Because he took my sins to Calvary. Make no mistake, brothers and sisters. Make no mistake, pastors and churches. The top priority of Christians and churches and any ministry is to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. It don't matter if they want it. It don't matter if they desire it, because they're not going to want it. They're not going to desire it. But it is our job to get it to them. Sometimes we get caught up in politics and world events, and we forget our priorities. Don't let us do that. I've done it myself. Don't do that. Folks, there are not many people being saved today, if you haven't noticed. I think that's by design. I think the Lord's coming. The churches are dwindling. This is our time to get the gospel of Christ to the world. Notice what Isaiah wrote in verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom the arm of the Lord was revealed? You know what? I think this is a question asked and a question answered. The problem is, who's going to believe our report? I wonder that. You pastors all wonder that. I do. Sometimes it seems like we preach and we preach and we preach so hard, and we wonder if anybody's listening. It don't matter. It don't matter who's listening. We're not to make them listen. Paul says, I don't use enticing words. I'm not going to butter it up. I'm not going to make it exciting. The gospel is perfect the way it was written.
Amen.
It doesn't need anything else, and they're only one. And anybody that changes it is teaching a lie. That's our report, churches, pastors, Christians. Christians, take it to your families. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming soon. He has to. Look at the world. Where are we going to be in 3 years? Now, the problem is, the world doesn't desire to hear. You know, before you were saved, you didn't desire to hear. You know why they don't desire to hear? Because they're spiritually discerned. They can't put it together. It makes no sense to them. People don't like things they can't explain. And they can't explain the gospel. They can't understand the gospel. They hate it. You know what else they hate? They hate this Bible. You know what else they hate? They hate God. They hate Jesus. They hate us because we're Sovereign Grace Landmark Baptist churches. They hate us. They despise us. The way the Democrats and Republicans in this world hate each other, the world hates Christians. A truth. Now, we can bow to the world and we can allow all of these homosexuals in. We can allow all of this abortion to go on. We can sit here and say it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that. It's okay, young people, just flip that picture of your nude body and say it all over the world. We can say these things. But God's not going to appreciate it. God is about spiritual worship and in truth. Truth. The absolutely unadulterated truth. You know, I talked to a young lady today. I'm not going to say who she is. My grandson knows. She's been with me while I've been talking to her. I've talked to her out in the fellowship hall earlier. She was involved in an industry back quite a few years ago that was terrible. And she told me she was a terrible person because she's involved in this industry. Said no one would ever accept her in churches. No one would ever accept her as Christian. Because when she was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ through the grace of God, she left that industry. Folks, our past does not haunt us when we're Christians. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. It doesn't matter what you've done. Young ladies that's had abortion, yes, it's a disgrace. But you know what? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all those sins, every one of them. This young lady is as clean and white as I am. Amen. I was telling my grandson, and he's 22 now, so he's kind of grown, you know. I said, you know, when I was young, I did a lot of things I'm checked up. I drank a lot. I didn't get into drugs and things, but I did drink a lot. One night I was so drunk I flew through a telephone pole and lost most of my teeth. Lord, later on, and I was a Christian, Lord later on called me to preach. You know, we don't always act like we're supposed to. Sometimes we fall. But what we do is we get back up. And we do the will of God. You know why? Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Wipes it off. As far as the east is from the west, as far as the deepest part of the sea is, God never sees them again. You run across people, folks, that God has saved, that's had checkered past. Forget their past. Their past. You know what? People make mistakes as lost people. They don't know it's a mistake. Lost people don't know what we know. They're spiritually discerned. They don't understand this. This is a spiritual book. It's for spiritual people. The Lord said in Isaiah 40 verse 10, behold, the Lord God will continue with strong hand and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and he shall carry them in the bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who? The Lord. Amen. You know who hears our reports? Those to whom the Lord's arm has been extended to. Those whom the Holy Spirit has convicted and saved them. Amen. I know he does it. I'm evidence of it. Second. His rejection. In Isaiah 53, verse 3, says he is despised and rejected of men. A man of many sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we did hide, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. They hated Jesus. They hate us. We're Sovereign Great Baptists. Folks, they hate us because they hate Jesus. They hate us because they hate God. You know, a lot of worship places who call themselves churches tonight and tomorrow and the next day and the next day are God haters. They're not only God haters, they're Bible haters.
They'll do anything in the world to accept anything the world puts out and reject everything the Lord teaches. They reject the entire truth of the Word of God, including salvation. They're going to hell. If they haven't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to hell. I don't care who they are. I don't care if their name is Joel Osteen or Oprah Winfrey or this other woman out there. I talked to a woman the other day on Facebook who told me I'm a pastor. I said, really? Over in Bangladesh. Wanted our support. And I said, we only support people like faith. You the pastor, I guarantee you, you're not like faith, ma'am. He was despised, rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Listen, we had, as it were, our faces from him. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came into this world to save sinners who we were at enmity with. Over 2,000 years ago, a man, the Christ Jesus himself, the Son of the living God, went to that cross on that hill of Calvary. He laid down his life. He spilt his blood in your place. He had nothing to die for. They had no reason to convict him. Listen, they released a criminal for him. Just to show the embarrassment of who he was. And they will show it to us too. They hate us. I don't care. People say, you shouldn't be that way. No, I don't care. I don't care what people think about us. We stand on the truth of God's Word. And if they don't like it, that's their problem. They will deal with the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne. If God doesn't save their souls. We didn't esteem him. Lift him up high. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1. In John chapter 1, verse 11, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. People talk about the Jews. I love the Jews. Don't get me wrong. They're God's chosen nation. Okay? They're not God's chosen people. They're not God's chosen churches. Some of them are, but not the whole nation. But what did they do for God over and over and over again? Look at every... I keep telling people, look at what God done for Israel. And then what did Israel do every time God did something for them great? They spit on him. They slapped him. And so God, in the New Testament time, he took Israel and put them over there in the Middle East where they belong. Surrounded by people that hate them. And he uses Gentiles.
Thank you, Lord. I'm sure proud and happy to do God's work. I smile. He came to them. I keep asking people, especially our church, I say, who should have been looking for the coming of the Lord? Israel. How did Israel miss the Lord's coming? Nobody knows, listen, nobody knows anything about the Lord or the Bible or anything about God that they weren't taught by the Holy Spirit. You have to understand. Everything is by God's ordained, predetermined will. Before the foundation of the world, God had already called His people. The fold had already been built. God put His chosen elect people in the fold. He gave them to Jesus. Before the foundation of the world, He wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Before the foundation of the world. Now, a lot of people can't figure that out, but I don't have an issue with it. Because you know why? Thank you, Lord. Randy Johnson's in there. If you're saved tonight, your name's in there. If you're not saved tonight, your name might not be there. That would concern me greatly. If I was lost today, I would concern greatly. If I died on the way home, if I died tomorrow, if I died any other time without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. I'm not going to sit up here and play with you. I don't care to. This is the most important message of any church or any Christian or anything. There's one most important message in the entire Word of God, and it's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because God chose to use that gospel to save sinners. I'm hard. Sorry, I got to hurry here. I dropped my pamphlet. See what time I'm supposed to quit. Okay. I got it. I'm sorry, brother. He'll get me back when he comes to Texas County sometime. Let's go to, since we're running low on time, let's go on down to our third point. In verse 4 of Isaiah 53, and I'm covering these real deep in our church. I'm just giving you a skim off the top. We do put these on Facebook if you care to watch. A lot of people don't watch our messages anymore. I don't know if they don't like me or our church. Or a lot of them just don't like what I teach. And I'm okay with that. Because God allowed me to believe it. And not only did He allow me to believe it, He allowed me to teach it. Isaiah 53 verse 4 says, surely, listen, don't miss this point. Do not miss, if you miss anything, don't miss this. Surely He hath borne our griefs. Listen, carried our sorrows. Yet did we esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Bearing, or upholding, or carrying means when one removes a burden from the shoulders of another and places it on the shoulders of another. Our transgressions, our crimes were taken 2,000 plus years ago, and they were put on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus didn't die for the world's sins. If He did, the world would be saved. On Calvary, everybody that Jesus died for will be saved. You know why? Because He died on Calvary for their sins. We can't crucify Him again today or tomorrow or next week. We can't. That would be a disgrace to Christ. Amen. He died once for sin. And He did it on Calvary. And He did it for my sins and your sins and every one of those written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Smitten of God. 1 Peter chapter 2.1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who in His own self, listen, bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, listen, by whose stripes we were healed. I was looking at notes, and I have a Spurgeon study Bible. I bought this one. This one is a Nelson. It's one of them goat leather deals. It's kind of a high Bible, but I also bought me and my grandson back there. He can't seem to remember to pick up and carry to church. But I bought both of us a Charles Haddon Spurgeon study Bible. And if you look in his Bible, not his Bible, but his study Bible, it's God's Bible, okay? Don't misunderstand what I say. Somebody, I said something about that on Facebook one day. She said, "What's a Spurgeon study Bible?" I said, "Well, it just simply has Spurgeon notes, okay?" But anyway, if you look in his notes, he talks about sin and how sin affects God. There's not a nastier. You could drag yourself through the city sewage and it would be cleaner than sin. Sin is the most disgusting thing in all of creation. There's nothing more filthy than sin. If you have big old sinners out there, I'm talking about if you pick up a paperclip at work that don't belong to you, you take it home, you just sin. If you pick anything up don't belong to you, you take it home, you sin, you just stole something. He said it's a paperclip, it belongs to somebody else. You come to my house, I live in the parsonage, I let the church use anything they want to. But if they take it home and just keep it, it's my shovel. Bring it back. You see what I'm talking about? It ain't yours. It's mine. I bought it. Don't belong to church. I bought it. You can use it. See what I'm talking about? Sin is just sin. I mean, everything is almost sin to us. A thought is sin. Do you know that? You walk by and you say, "Boy, I hate that person." That's sin. We're not supposed to hate people. We'd be surprised at what we're not supposed to do. Christians have committed a lot of big sins over the years. Churches have committed a lot of big sins over the years. And I'm not talking about other churches. I'm talking about ours and every other stuff. None of us is perfect. Not a one of us. Oh, I got to hurry. Not a one of us is perfect. Back in Isaiah chapter 53, let's finish this last one real quick so I get the other brother up here. The Lord said in verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions." Huh? Yes, our transgressions. "He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we were healed." Look at 1 Peter 3:18. First Peter chapter 3 verse 18 says, "For Christ also had once suffered for sin," listen, "the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Amen. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Praise God. Don't miss that last part. When Jesus Christ was put into the grave, the Holy Spirit raised him. And don't ever miss why he was put there. You know, Jesus Christ took such a beating. It was we can't even imagine the beating Jesus took. He was unrecognizable. My father-in-law used to tell me, back then they had something called a cat of nine tails. I don't know. You know, he was a lot more intelligent man than I was. He had a master's degree in college, and I got like a halfway 11th grade education. You know what I mean? I don't mean halfway to the 11th. I don't know about halfway through the 11th. Don't misunderstand. I did get halfway through the year of the 11th, okay? So if I sound like I'm not real educated, you understand why, okay? At least I do have better than sixth grade education. I don't know how good it is, but I got one. But he used to talk about a cat of nine tails, and they would take the whip and hit him with it. It had like nine claws on it, and they would rip it. I couldn't imagine something like that. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Thank you, Lord. Tell you what, folks, I got to quit. But I'll tell you one thing. Listen to me. You're saved tonight because Jesus Christ saved you. He went to the cross. He saved your souls. He is the reason you're a Christian. You believe this gospel because the arm of the Lord revealed it to you. The Holy Spirit revealed it to you. It wasn't a decision. It wasn't a choice. If it was any choice, it was God's choice. You're a Christian tonight because God chose you to be His child, and He put Jesus on the cross for your sins. God bless you. Amen.